Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, inviting you to our virtual meeting where we discuss today's issues and how those issues relate to the Holy Scriptures. So sit back, relax, and engage in conversation with us.
Bless you. I am Rosaya, and welcome to our virtual living room where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. We give all praises to the Most High in Christ, and we give thanks for God's generous mercy, grace, and forgiveness. At this time, I'd just like to make everyone aware that we do have chat available for you today, and the chat room is open if you'd like to go into the chat room. Also, today our topic is going to be concerning a video that was posted on YouTube about black women, about 50% of black women actually being infected with herpes. And joining me in the virtual living room to discuss this topic today, we have first off our brother Yohanathan.
Yes. Good afternoon to all. Giving all praise to the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ.
Okay. And we also have Brother Kazakia.
Shalom to the brothers on the panel. Shalom to our listeners. As the Father in the name of Christ bless. Definitely appreciative to the Lord to be back with you and to discuss this topic.
Right. Now, that number, 50% of black women infected with herpes, that's an alarmingly high number of women. I mean, if say you are in a room, you are at a function, and there are 10 black women, or 20 black women, okay, half of those women could very well be infected with herpes. If you're a young man and you're out and about and you're considering someone that you may want to date and you may want to eventually end up getting married and so forth, I mean, you got to strongly consider, I mean, it makes slim pickings. If one of the things that you're doing is you're ruling out anyone that has herpes, you know, that you're ruling out a whole lot of people. That's a whole lot of black women that you're ruling out. So we want to take a look at that. And something else about this whole 50% thing, how do we know that's right? I mean, this is something that came from the CDC, and what we'll do is we'll go ahead and listen to the audio from the video. And, you know, we'll start talking about exactly what's going on with this here in just a moment.
My first reaction was pretty devastating. The doctor was really nice. I pretty much cried in the office for about an hour or so.
About 6 months ago, the doctor told this 27-year-old woman she has genital herpes. She's not alone. About half of African-American women have the sexually transmitted disease. There is medication to suppress flare-ups of herpes, but no cure. She wants to remain anonymous because she worries her health, sexuality, and her chance for love are irreparably damaged.
It's something that would happen maybe a couple of times a year, yes, but, I mean, with just the slightest touch, I can always give it to somebody else.
It increases your risk of acquiring HIV by 2 to 3-fold. So we're worried about it because if you actually acquire the HSV2 virus, then you are more susceptible or more likely then to acquire the HIV virus.
Dr. LaShawn Taylor led a recent CDC study indicating that 1 in 6 Americans between the ages of 14 and 49 are infected with herpes. The symptoms could be redness in the genital area, blisters, pain, or just soreness. Still, many people don't show any signs of this lifelong and incurable infection. That creates dangerous consequences for African American women. Experts say the stigma associated with having an STD hinders efforts to combat the infection.
It's psychological and social. Some, as I say, make the moral decision to not disclose, and others decide the best thing to do is to be honest, and they do, and they take their chances.
The CDC has an ongoing effort to increase awareness and lower the genital herpes infection rate. Still, this young woman wants the movement to work harder. Lila Ibrahim, The Associated Press.
At all. I'm very afraid to...
Okay, brothers. We also have Brother Abadja that's also joined us. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, shalom. Most High Christ bless everyone. Doing fine.
Okay. Brothers, you heard the video there. And one of the things that, you know, one question that comes up in a situation like this, you know that you have genital herpes, or herpes at all. Genital, you know, because there are two types from my understanding. There's an oral herpes, which is SPV1, and there's another one, HSV1, and then there's the HSV2, which is the genital one. Both of them, you know, sound pretty bad to me. It sounds like they're really painful and cause a lot of discomfort and so forth. But isn't this something that you should tell someone that may have some romantic interest or some interest in pursuing a lifelong relationship with you? The world did not address that to you.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead and pose the question again. I'm sorry. I was just looking for something real quick.
Okay, if you have if you infected with genital herpes or oral herpes, isn't this something that you should let someone know about if they're considering having some type of relationship, lasting relationship with you?
Depending on the stage of the relationship, yes. But the thing is that first of all, when you're talking about the relationship, I want to read a scripture real quick. And the thing that we have to realize is that when the Lord calls us to repentance, you know, we can repent from virtually anything, okay? If we are in the world without the knowledge of Christ, when we come into the knowledge of Christ, basically, when you read in the scriptures about, you know, how it says blotting out the commandments and ordinances and things like that, or taking away, you know, the curse of the law and things like that, that's not talking about taking away the law. That's talking about taking away the punishment under the Old Testament, which is that death. Because a lot of the things that we are doing when we are without the knowledge of Christ is what makes us worthy of death in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. So in repenting from those things and stopping those actions and applying the scriptures through the example of Christ, that's how we receive life. Now, having said all that, the thing is that, yeah, we receive that mercy through Jesus Christ, but that still does not mean that we will be absolved, if you will, of some of the transgressions that we have committed prior to coming into the knowledge of Christ. So, you know, the thing is, I'm just going to read Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So this is just one scripture going into repentance about a lot of the things that we were doing that caused us to contract that disease, or that caused us to have to deal with certain circumstances that are lifelong, you know, or caused us to be, you know, in dire, you know, situations. Yeah, the Lord will grant us mercy, but that still doesn't mean that we don't have to pay the piper. So the thing is that we have to remember that in applying the scriptures, you know, that it doesn't absolve us from some of those things.
Okay, now break that down.
And then also, if I could add, there's a problem in our community, okay? And it's not just, even though the statistic is going out to the black woman, I mean, it's as well to the black man as to everyone, okay? There's a problem, and we're doing acts that are against the Heavenly Father, okay? And that's going into fornication, lasciviousness, mm-hmm. and those type things. Those things that the Heavenly Father consider works of the flesh. So now we have this problem called herpes here on this earth now, okay? And the reason why is because I was listening to what was going on. Like how you stated, Josiah, how if a young man wants to go out and about, consider, explore dating. See, that's the problem right there. That dating, the going out and about, he's going out in the mindset to have what? Actions that's against the word of the Heavenly Father. And this is all coming down by the hand and judgment of the Most High to show us that we must not do these things. Relationships. What type of relationships? We got to analyze. What type of relationship we have? A sexual one? Are we in a righteous relationship? Are we just in it just for the time being? And then we're going to go on to the next one. And see, because of those acts, those works of the flesh, the Most High cast this upon us. Okay? And the thing is, the Lord wants us to repent and come back and do what's right in His sight. I just have one verse to read. Galatians chapter 5. Now I would like to start at verse 19. Okay, and it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Okay, that one verse alone dealt with all manner of sexual acts. And that's and herpes is a result of doing these acts. So now we got to ask ourselves, why, where, and why would the Most High do this to us? So we got to repent, and that's the whole the basis, that's the whole healing process, turning to the word of Christ.
I'd like to also read this
scripture. Hold on a second now. Wait a minute. You're indicating that because someone went out and had sex with someone, that they gotten herpes?
Yeah. See, you see, it's so far-fetched in this world. It's so far-fetched in this world to think that because you could just, hey, I just go out and have a cup of coffee. We go out and have a dinner and a movie. Okay, at the end of the night, we're going to go down and have sex. That you're going, there's a consequence for that action. Because in this society, that's being pushed. That's the norm. It's okay. It's a weekend thing. It's a weekend adventure. My weekend was fine. I had a date, had sex. I'm ready to work for the week. You know, but in actuality, the Most High created man to serve Him. The Most High created man to fear Him and keep His law, statutes, and commandments by the example in Christ. Did not Christ do no sin? And then the Lord said, this is my Son in whom I well believe, whom I trust. This is my Son in whom I am, what's the verse?
Well,
I'm messing it up.
This
yeah, well, please hear ye Him. And it said that's His only begotten Son. So now, if He's the only begotten Son, yes, and yet in fact there's millions and millions of men on this earth, but the only Heavenly Father only has seen this one man. It's got to be a reason why. And it's because he abstained from the filth of this world, but did the righteousness that the Heavenly Father commanded man to do. So that's the analyzation, and that's the cure, putting on that example and actually doing it. Even though it seems far-fetched, people think that it's, oh, man, something is, we're going to find a cure. No, the only cure you can find is by living in that mode and example in Christ.
Okay, so right now what we have in our audience is a combination of people who maybe they don't seem so far-fetched, maybe they understand it perfectly clear, and then other people is like, man, this is unbelievable what this guy is saying. He's suggesting just because, you know, you and I together, we made love, that there's something wrong with that, first of all. And then secondly, you know, if we happen to get herpes or some venereal disease out of it, it's our fault because we had sex. Now, from some scripture in the Bible, the any scripture that say that directly, explicitly, you have sex with somebody, then you get this, it's your fault for having sex with them.
I'd like to read it maybe from this particular aspect right here. This is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, where it says, marriage is honorable and in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So the point of the matter is this. Marriage, first and foremost, is the institution according first to the scriptures and the example of Christ. That's the institution in which the Heavenly Father recognizes in which that type of activity, sexual activity can happen. If it's not within the institution of marriage, a husband and a wife repenting in Christ, in the mind and in their actions, learning and growing together, then that's not marriage. And that goes into the second part of the scripture where it says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So if you're out there being a whoremonger, men going out there sleeping with all types of women, committing fornication, and adulterers, men going out there sleeping with other men's wives, and just because I say men here does not mean that women are excluded, because, women that's out there committing fornication, being whores and being adulteresses, what does the scripture say? The scripture says that God will judge, and the judgment is diseases like herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, so forth and so on. So now what we're reading about basically is the judgments that come upon our people who practice lifestyles like this, who practice lifestyles outside of the confines of the teachings of Christ. These things can happen. So now the point is, now it's time for us to repent and come back. Stop being whores, stop being whoremongers, stop living outside of the Bible, and come back and live according to the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You know, take somebody who maybe they have read the information that the program script, okay, and they were interested in listening to something about herpes because they don't want to contract herpes, or maybe they already have it and they're interested in finding out more information about it. All right, now you're throwing out words like repentance and judgment. These words may be foreign to somebody like that. On a more basic level, is there something that you can say to them so they understand really what you're talking about when you say repentance and when you speak in terms of judgment? Because you say the judgment for these acts is in this case, is the herpes. So what does that mean when you say judgment?
When we say
judgment. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. When we're talking about judgment, we're referring to the penalty for the act rendered. So in a case like this, we're talking about herpes, sexually transmitted diseases, the judgment or the penalty for acts like that are what we're reading about right now, what we're talking about, sexually transmitted diseases, herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, et cetera, so forth. That is the penalty or the judgment for our people leading lifestyles and walking contrary to the teachings of Christ. So when we also talk about repentance, we're talking about stopping those actions. In other words, you change your mindset. First and foremost, you're changing your mindset from I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to sleep with all the women I can, or I'm going to sleep with all the men I can, or I'm going to steal, I'm going to commit fornication. You stop your mindset. You change your mindset from thoughts like those to I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to keep the commandments, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to try my best to be an example of Christ, so forth and so on. So that's repentance.
Okay. All right, Yuwana-san. The video said that one out of every six Americans is infected with herpes, but one out of every two, 50% of black women are infected with herpes. Where are they getting this information from, and how can we know that this information is correct, this correct, accurate reflection of what's actually going on?
Well, as a man, we don't sit in the seat of the Most High in Christ and know all things. Okay, but we do know that even if one of our sisters of the nation of Israel has herpes, okay, and she didn't get that just by herself, that in itself is an alarming rate, okay? We all must come to repentance, okay? The women, the men, I'm going to say it again, the men, okay, because all of this is a direct result of how these men portray our sisters in the videos, how they treat them in the world, and how them themselves, along with the sisters, are doing those acts. Like we said, the fornication, which is and the lasciviousness, the illicit sex acts all over, go to the sex shop, get the toys and whatever, all of that stuff, and the Most High is judging us from that. But But now for the specific number, the Most High might even, in the eyes of the Most High, that might even be greater. Or it might be smaller. But the thing is, how the scripture said we all ought to know how to hold our bodies and repent. I'm going to get that scripture. If some brother can ask the statement, I'm going to look up that scripture right quick.
Right, because I just want to add in something real quick. Okay, I was just making sure the line was clear. Because several things were brought out because ultimately, according to the scriptures, this is not about, you know, 51 in every, one of every two black women that were tested for herpes or that went to the doctor and they got tested for this, but they were found to be infected with this disease, okay, or the sexually transmitted disease, or how the brother was bringing out, whether it be chlamydia, AIDS, HIV, whatever, okay. The root of it goes back to us repenting through Christ, because the thing is how did that person get herpes? Were they dealing, ultimately they were dealing in, you know, in a relationship that's not according to Christ. Because the thing is, I want to read something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So the thing is that right now our people are putting their faith in everything but the power of God and the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of the Heavenly Father. Okay. Their faith stands in the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men teaches us that if we wear a condom, then we can lower our risk or even prevent catching AIDS or other STDs. Okay? The wisdom of men teaches us for a man to go out and sow his royal oats, to sleep with as many women as he wants until he feels that he can find the right one. Okay? The wisdom of men teaches us, well, if we put forth more programs and educate people and, you know, go all of these things, okay, all these little avenues that people are trying to go down outside of what the Lord said. Listen, the Lord said that fornication is an abomination. Okay, you don't find dating in the scriptures.
I guess.
Okay, so this is basically what it comes back to. It's very simple. Okay, our faith is not supposed to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God is repentance through Christ. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. And now. And then also 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm going to start at verse 3, and then I'm going to read verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, and it reads, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." So the purpose the Most High wants us to do, that's what it means by the will of God, even your sanctification, meaning your cleansing. Your purification, your cleansing, that sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That means you should stop going out of that union of marriage to have sex in any manner. So that's talking like we were speaking of, guy dating, okay, wanting to get this woman or vice versa, okay, and just casually on the weekend, strip clubs or whatever. All of that stuff is in the realm of fornication. And here the Heavenly Father is telling us not to do this. To abstain from that. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Meaning by what? What honor? What sanctification? By the will of the Heavenly Father. By the definement of Christ. And you never see Christ dodge and dolly with harlots and whores. Only time he dealt with them was to tell them to repent. Didn't he tell Mary Magdalene, I condemn you, but he told her, go and sin no more. So that's the whole realm that we must put on repentance and truly understand that this is a punishment from the Most High. So now, and it is. And the cure is the Most High by repenting through his son Christ.
All right, I want to play a video about some facts surrounding herpes to make sure that we are looking at things clearly here. Just one second here.
There are 50 million cases of genital herpes in the United States alone, yet myths about the disease abound. Here are 10 facts you need to know. Herpes simplex is a contagious viral infection that can affect the mouth or the genitals. This disease often manifests itself as painful sores on either of these areas. Perhaps one of the most important facts about herpes is that it's contagious all of the time. This is vital because some people mistakenly believe that if they are not having an outbreak of sores, that they cannot spread the virus. 90% of people infected with the herpes virus are asymptomatic and don't know they have herpes. Herpes simplex is a virus that can be spread via the briefest of skin-to-skin contact. Kissing, oral or anal sex, touching with unwashed hands, and even sharing objects like drinking glasses and towels can all spread the herpes virus. Condoms do not necessarily protect against the spread of genital herpes. This is because the disease may be passed through contact with the thighs, pelvis, and stomach. With these statistics in mind, you're probably eager to talk to your doctor about herpes simplex, and that's vital. Here's why. Most doctors don't test for herpes, even during a standard STD test, unless you ask them to. A blood test to determine if you are infected with the herpes virus, called a serology, is more accurate than the basic swab method. If you are considering pregnancy, it is especially important to find out if either of you is affected. That's because there is a chance that the active herpes virus can be passed to an infant during its trip through the birth canal. In some cases, your doctor may choose a cesarean section delivery to ensure that your baby is not infected. You may wonder why these precautions are necessary. Newborn babies do not have the developed immune system that is needed to fight herpes simplex and may die if they contract the virus. If you have herpes, you are more prone to contract HIV and other STDs. Since your immune system is compromised because of the virus, it is important to be honest with your partner and discuss options to reduce transmission with your doctor. Finally, remember that either you or your partner can have the herpes virus even if neither of you experience skin lesions. For this reason, it is absolutely vital to visit your doctor for a serology if you're sexually active.
Okay, brothers, now here's some information that seems to indicate that if you've never had sex in your life, you could still end up having the herpes virus. Okay? John, how would you respond to that?
You got it, brother?
Say it again now.
I said, here's information that indicates, because, you know, herpes can be contracted through casual contact. You know, here's a baby that could be born with the herpes virus because the mother had herpes. So considering that, if someone has the herpes virus, what is it that you would have to say to them about this whole thing about herpes and fornication and so on and so forth?
What is the what? I didn't hear you clear. You said what is the what now?
What is it that you would have to say to them?
Well, see, the thing is, the person commenting right there said how you can be there from kissing, anal sex, oral. But look at how it's being passed, okay? What desire, it said kissing and oral sex, anal sex, kissing, and the body, the midsection rubbing against the other. That all falls in the line of what the Heavenly Father considers to be lasciviousness and going into that realm of fornication. So the bottom line is you still get that from going against the word of the Heavenly Father. I have not seen a case, okay, I have not heard a husband or a man that's in Christ or a sister that's in Christ say, oh, I laid out with my wife tonight and we got herpes. Okay, so it's not, you don't get it that way. You get it from out there in the world, okay, with not that process of I love my wife. You lusting after whatever body type you like, if you're heterosexual, as the world call it, or homosexual, it don't matter. It's all fornication. You're just out there wilding out. And you're going to get it that way. If a man and a husband in Christ, I have not seen where the Most High cast them with herpes. So the thing is, how you get this is going against the word of the Most High still. And the thing is, we have to repent.
We have to repent. I have a question for you because I've read someplace, and I think it was in this video, I'm not positive, that you can contract it through, like, handshakes by drinking from the same glass. About, you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay, you're drinking from the same glass. And then, of course, you have the instances where a baby could be born with the herpes virus because the mother had herpes. You know, what is it that you say to someone who's contracted the disease through some means other than sexual contact?
Well, a lot of those things, you know, just kind of dovetailing on what the brother had brought out. One aspect of that, you know, as far as the whole issue dealing with, you know, contracting it through, you know, immoral acts according to the scriptures, that's one thing. You know, but as far as, you know, in reference to even addressing the first question that you had, had asked as far as the child contracting it through childbirth, again, that goes back to decisions that we make, not seeing how those repercussions of those decisions are being played out. Okay, yeah, we can repent, but still, we still have to, you know, account for those things. You know, we still have to account for those things in ways that, at the time we make those decisions, we can't even begin to understand the residual effects of those decisions. Okay, I mean, it's just like, for example, you know, if a man laid with a woman and got her pregnant, he, at the time that he's laying with her, he's not considering, you know, whether or not he's going to, you know, contract the sexually transmitted disease. He's not even going to consider the fact that, okay, well, I got this woman pregnant. That, you know, okay, well, I can repent. I'm no longer a whoremonger, but guess what? If he's going to deal right, guess what? He's going to have to wind up paying child support. So that's going to affect the quality of life. And, you know, not even considering the fact that he might may or may not be on good terms with the child's mother. But now, having said all that, going to the whole thing about addressing contracting diseases from shaking hands and things like that, you know, the Lord has, you know, there are things that we can do as far as cleanliness, you know, as far as washing your hands and things of that nature. But I want to read a scripture real quick. I just had it. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Take it
down. I just had it.
All right. Well, I got.
How does it go, brother? Maybe we can help.
That scripture about you, but you know, you have people who have been involved in illicit sexual behavior for some time now. You know, depending on your age, it may have been decades that you've been doing this, and it's just a natural course of business. And now you're listening to these brothers bring out things in the scriptures to talk about the judgment for this behavior, and maybe you've experienced some of that, you know, through the course of your life. You know, if it's not herpes, maybe it's something else, some other judgments that you've had. Maybe you have, you know, a number of children that are out of wedlock, you know, and I don't think anybody really, well, most people don't really want that. They want to be married when they have children. Otherwise, you know, they look at it as being somewhat of a hardship or whatever. All right, so there are a number of different things that can happen to you as a result of this. I want to, you brothers, to address, you know, what should be the mindset of a person like that? Once they hear these words, how should they look at it? Should they look at this as, well, there's no hope for me because I committed such atrocious sins over the last couple of decades? I've got children scattered all around the world. You know, I've got disease. I've given disease to other people. You know, all those kinds of things. Is that the way they should look at it, like they damned, or is there some other way? But before you go into answering that, Kazakia, let's go ahead and go to the announcement.
Brothers and sisters, at this time, please accept our invitation to visit us in the virtual living room to discuss today's topic. Comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. To visit us in the virtual living room, please call 646-716-7749. Also, you can visit our website at thebocc.com. That's thebocc.com. Or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com. UREACH is the letter U followed by the word REACH. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 1-877-871-1712. This program is broadcast live each Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember to visit us right now in the virtual living room by calling 646-716-7749. Now back to today's show.
Okay, we are back, and we're discussing a report from the CDC that represented that 50% of black women in the United States are infected with herpes. And before we went on break, I addressed a question or to Brother Kazakia about the attitude of people who have been involved in illicit sexual behavior for some time now. You know, it could be a few years, it could be a few decades, and they have they didn't call it judgment, you know, when things went wrong in their lives as a result of it. They didn't call it penalties. You know, maybe they just called it trouble. But whatever they called it, they've experienced these things, and now you brothers are bringing some clarity to what they have experienced. So, Brother Kazakia, for someone like that, that now they're realizing, oh, man, I've really been messing up, I've been in violation, what do you say to someone like that? Do you tell them, like, hey, listen, there's no hope for you, you're damned, or is there something else that you tell them?
The scriptures bear it out best. So when we read in Ecclesiasticus in chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, make no tarrying to turn to the Lord, and put not off from day to day. For suddenly shall the wrath of the Lord come forth, and in thy security thou shalt be destroyed and perish in the day of vengeance. So what you say is basically, or the mindset, I apologize, should be, okay, I've been engaged or living this type of lifestyle for so many years or for X amount of time. The mindset should be, all right, what you need to do now is repent, because the scripture says, make no tarrying to turn to the Lord. So in other words, do not procrastinate repentance, coming back and following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Don't procrastinate that, because the scriptures also tells us that tomorrow is not promised to anybody. So while we have the opportunity to stop living contrary to the scriptures, stop living to the teachings of Jesus Christ, that's the opportunity that we should take advantage of fully. Repent in the mindset, bring your thoughts to the captivity of Christ, and subsequently your actions, and learn the scriptures, read the scriptures, apply the teachings of Christ, and that's the type of mindset that we ought to have. Also, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the reason why this comes to mind is because of the fact that if any man or woman, for that matter, truly is serious about repenting and following Christ and cleaning up their acts, they are a new person. All those past transgressions, all those past iniquities, that's all passed away. That's all forgotten, forgiven by the Heavenly Father. All things are become new. So they are that new person who is trying to strive to be meet, a vessel meet for the use of the Heavenly Father and Christ to be that example in the world.
And then also, if I could add, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, and it reads, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure. So now, it's us, the ones that decided to repent and follow Christ. We ourselves was up that same walk. So we are saying, like, we're better, like, you got to turn, because we all had turned. The scripture said all have sinned. So we all was caught up in this one way, form, or fashion of another, rebelling against the word of the Heavenly Father. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Meaning what? Christ. The love of God and man appeared with Christ, the Spirit of Christ, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it's nothing, no righteous acts we've done. We just made the conscious statement, decision to repent, and I'm going to follow the Christ of these scriptures. I'm going to apply the Christ of these scriptures' words, and I'm going to stop doing the things that Christ said that we should repent from and start doing the things he says to do. And that was it. We no holy, no one. Matter of fact, we probably worse off than anyone, but we decided to what? Repent. Like Christ said, told the elders of our people long ago that what? He said, publicans and harlots shall go into the kingdom of heaven before you. So the thing is to repent, not looking to see that you are a life of filth. It's like the brother brought out, Christ said that you are a new creature in Christ. So repent.
Okay. You know, I want to regress a little bit and touch on something that we spoke about earlier in the program. And that's about, you know, how do we know that this whole thing about 50% of black women actually are infected with herpes, or even if one in every six of Americans are actually infected with herpes? And if they are, you know, what number, you know, of those people, of what percentage of those people were actually infected due to illicit sex, okay? Now, if the number of people who were actually infected with herpes due to illicit sex is like 5% or 2% or 1%, does that make any difference to you brothers at all about the information that you're presenting from the scriptures? And if it does make a difference, what is that difference?
Well, and going about dealing or answering that particular question, we dealing with acts first and foremost, things that people do. And with the Heavenly Father, he's not too concerned with statistics. Let me read this scripture right here. This is Proverbs 13:21. It says, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. So I would like to emphasize the first part of that scripture where it says, evil pursueth sinners. Sinners are those who break his commandments. So it doesn't matter who you are, male or female, how young you are or how old you are. If you are breaking the commandments, in other words, you are not walking according to how the scriptures says that you're supposed to walk and live your lives in the example of Jesus Christ, you're a sinner. And the scriptures tell us that evil pursueth sinners. What we're reading about is just one example of this, of what the scripture is talking about. Women and men that are out there fornicating, being whores, being whoremongers, being adulterers, that's sinning. And the evil that comes with that are the diseases such as herpes, such as gonorrhea, such as chlamydia, such as HIV, such as AIDS. All those are the evils that pursue sinners. Now, on the other hand, but to the righteous, those that repent in the mindset and bring their thoughts to the captivity of Christ and subsequently their actions as well, good shall be repaid. That means they receive mercy. But the point of the matter is, as far as numbers and this percentage and that percentage and this statistical curve and that statistical curve, what is that in the eyes of the Heavenly Father? The Heavenly Father, we just read it, Proverbs 13:21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Also, because the brother put it up in the chat room, Deuteronomy 28:61, also every sickness and plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So the point of the matter is this. Way back in Deuteronomy, when the Heavenly Father was establishing his covenant, he told you, if you listen to my commandments and hearken to these laws and commandments and statutes, I'm going to bless you. However, if you break my laws, you break my commandments, you break my statutes and laws, I'm going to curse you. And what we read about in verse 61 is one of those curses, disease as a result of our people being disobedient to the commandments of the Heavenly Father.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Can I address something real quick?
Absolutely. I was going to come back to you because I just remembered that before we went on to the announcement that there was a scripture that you wanted to bring out, and I just wanted to give you an opportunity to do that and anything else you want to address.
Yeah, because the thing is I'm seeing some of the comments that's made in the chat room, you know, regarding certain things about the universe and, basically going into, you know, giving people hope. I want to read, I got a few scriptures. I got like about three or four scriptures, so I'm going to make this very quick. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 9, because the point I want is in verse 11. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So this is a letter that Paul is writing to the church that's in Corinth and letting him know that that church that those people are a part of, that's the building. Okay, this is the husbandry. This is the work of the Heavenly Father that has to be groomed, has to be pruned, and grown to perfection in Christ. It says, ye are God's building, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So he's basically saying, you know, with him giving that portion of the Spirit of the Heavenly Father to go out and teach and to guide in the spirit of Christ. That's why he said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Because it was going back to the scripture that I brought out earlier, that's in the second chapter, verses 4 and 5, about our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because a lot of people are trying to build a foundation in knowledge. And, you know, and this is not directed to the individual in the chat room, because guess what? If he thinks that way, there are other people that listen to it and believe the same thing. Just like it was in the past, there's nothing changed. So the thing is, the foundation that we're supposed to build, we're supposed to take heed, meaning we're supposed to be aware of what foundation we're laying. So I'm going to read 10 again. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Because that goes back into the whole thing of one man planteth, another man watereth, but God giveth the increase. So as long as we're dealing with the scriptures through the understanding of Christ, regardless of whose mouth it comes out of, that's how one person builds and another lays a, you know, and another buildeth thereupon. But the point is in 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So this is going back to what foundation we're supposed to be on. Okay, the whole thing about, even the whole thing, you know, the question was raised, well, how do we know that those statistics are correct? The statistics are irrelevant, because when we go back to the foundation of Christ, we won't have to worry about the statistics. We don't have to worry about so-called 50% of all black women that were tested for this disease came up positive. Okay, we don't have to worry about so many percentage of black men are, you know, are destined to be in jail or uneducated or in poverty. We don't have to worry about those things. Okay, because first and foremost, we're suffering from these things because we broke the commandments, and the mercy and grace that we receive through the Christ is repentance. Now I want to read something else. This is Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 3, and verse 24. And this is going straight to the point. It says, for many are deceived by their own vain opinion, and an evil suspicion have overthrown their judgment. So it says, without lies thou shalt want light, profess not the knowledge thereof that thou hast not. So the knowledge that we're dealing with, that we know that we have, is the understanding of Christ and the keeping of the commandments through his example. That's all we're dealing with. Anything else, we're not dealing with that. Okay? But the point, going back to the previous verse, it says many are deceived by their own vain opinion, because everybody has their own opinion of what foundation is supposed to be laid. Everybody has their own opinion of how to prevent STDs or how to prevent catching this or how to prevent catching that, you know, in relation to the topic that we're discussing. But the scriptures already shows us how to prevent it, and the scripture shows us why it's happening. And that's why it says an evil suspicion have overthrown their judgment. So people are thinking, okay, I can, you know, I can circumvent it and go around this way. I can reduce my chances of catching it this way. All of that is foolishness, man. And that's why there's the simplicity of Christ is so very important. And those that don't want to follow it, then they're going to receive the works of their flesh. And they're going to receive the judgments of the Heavenly Father. It's just that simple.
Okay, now, you brothers are bringing these scriptures out to the audience at large, which is the entire world. For what purpose?
I got it right here. This was the other scripture. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to the Gospel of Luke. This is chapter 24. And what's going on here briefly is that, you know, you have what you have here is Christ dealing with the disciples, and this is his charge to them. It says, and I'm going straight to the point, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And the point is 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the doctrine, and this is the thing that goes out to everyone, it doesn't matter if you Jew, Gentile, Greek, whatever, okay? It says repentance and remission of sins is what's supposed to be preached in his name among all the nations. So that's what's coming out, okay? And just another point, too, Exodus 15 and 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. So it goes back to the mercy that the Heavenly Father is giving us and the protection that he gives us when we follow his commandments. So all of those questions, well, what if I shake somebody's hand and catch it? What if I grab a doorknob and rub my eye and catch it? That's foolishness, man. Those are foolish and unlearned questions. What if I shake somebody's hand that had their hand down their pants or something, and they got this, that, and the other? We don't deal with that. The scriptures say what they say, and the mercy of the Lord and the faith of the Lord is what protects us. Thus saith the Lord.
Right. And then if I could add also in Acts chapter 3, verse 22. And it reads in Acts 3:22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So we got to hear him in all things. And on this matter of this fornication and the realm we're speaking of here, the acts of the flesh or the sex and the whoredom and all of that, we got to listen to Christ. And if we don't do that, we're going to be destroyed. That's the only answer. That's the only way out. That's the only way to life, the words of Christ. So we're not saying listen to us. We're saying check out the words of Christ.
You know, what's so different about what you brothers are bringing out here, if there's anything different than what you can see if you just turn to AIB, which is the religious channel, where you see all different denominations and so forth bringing out various things based upon what other religious beliefs are. What's so different about what you brothers are bringing out? Is there anything different about it, or, you know, you're pretty much in agreement with what they're doing?
In agreement with, could you pose that question one more time?
You know, there are many people, if you're familiar with AIB, American Interfaith Broadcasting or something like that?
Yeah.
It's a religious channel, okay? So is there anything different about what you brothers are bringing out? I mean, they have Bibles, and they will read scriptures from Bibles, and they will expound on it. So is there anything different that you're bringing out than what they're bringing out?
Well, I can only speak for myself that, you know, we're following the Christ of the Scriptures, okay? And the best thing, someone that wants to compare us to them or whoever to whoever, analyze what someone does like Christ says, you shall know them by their fruit. So let's hopefully that everyone that'll get their fruits in line, Matthew 7:16, you shall know them by their fruits. You may gather grapes or thorns, or of figs or thistles. So Christ says, you shall know them by your fruits, whether your works are righteous or whether they're wicked. And let's hope that all follow the Christ of the Scriptures. Let's all follow the Christ of the Scriptures. You know, not a comparing, because there's only one Christ. Christ's going to do the judging in the end. So for someone that, you know, want to compare them to that, you know, you make that call. It's best that you follow Christ in the Scriptures.
Okay. Let's take a situation where there's someone who has been involved in illicit sexual activity in the past, and they have understood through the scriptures that was wrong, and they made a decision not to do that anymore. They want to change their life. They want to follow the things in the scriptures. Because of their past conduct, the illicit sexual activity, and maybe other things that were wrong according to the scriptures, would that preclude you from being involved with them on a personal relationship? Whatever that relationship would turn into, whether you, for instance, just like to hang out and play tennis, or whether this is a woman that maybe you may have some interest in marrying at some point, because of their background, is that something that will prevent you from going further in a relationship with them?
No. Let's look at the scriptures again. And I'd like to go back and read it again in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, if you would bear with me just quickly, because I know our time is running short. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'd like to read it again, where it says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yes, it says man here, but it doesn't mean that women are excluded. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That lifestyle, that mindset, what they used to do, those past transgressions, all of that is passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That person is a brand new creature in Christ. Now, as far as relationships are concerned, first and foremost, you got to establish your relationship in Christ first and foremost. And it doesn't matter whether the intention is romantic or not. Let's start with the grassroots, the basics, which is dealing in Christ. That person, that woman or that man, it doesn't matter. They're dealing with you according to Christ. In other words, according to the example of Christ. They're not trying to steal from you. They're not trying to commit adultery, anything like that. Their conduct towards you is that which becometh the scriptures. So start with that there. And like the scriptures also tells us that men are supposed to look upon the sisters with all purity. And I can't remember the scripture specifically, and I'm verbatim, and I know I'm butchering
it. Timothy 5 and 2.
Thank you. But we're supposed to look upon our sisters with all purity. In other words, we're supposed to look at our sisters as this is a woman of the Lord trying to learn, trying to grow in Christ. I'm not supposed to look at her with the mindset or with the intention of I want to get with her, I have some type of romantic interest, I want to go further than this. No, look at your sisters with all purity, first and foremost, and establish your relationship, your friendship, first and foremost, in Christ, according to the scriptures, according to his teaching. Because believe it or not, the scriptures also tell us that whoever feareth the Lord directeth his friendship aright. That means that any man or any woman that fears the Heavenly Father, which means keeping the commandments, now through Christ, how he's going to direct his friendship aright. That means he's going to deal with each and every individual the right way, like the Lord says to deal with. That means reproving them if necessary, showing them that love, being that example of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures also tell us in Colossians, the 4th chapter, walk with wisdom toward them that are without.
Okay. All right. You want to done. We got just a little bit more time left. You have any parting comments?
Only parting comments I have is hear the words of Christ, and you're cleansed through his words. John 15 and 3. It says, now you are clean through the word which I speak unto you. I'm going to get it and read. John 15 and 3. It reads, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. So that's the words of Christ. Abide in Christ. Live your life toward that and repent and leave off the works of the flesh so that we won't get the punishment of the works of the flesh, which we were speaking of today. Perfect.
Okay, Abadja, an opportunity for you to issue your parting comments.
Basically, this is Ecclesiasticus and Apocrypha 5 and 7. Make no tarrying to turn to the Lord, and put not off from day to day, for suddenly shall the wrath of the Lord come forth, and in thy security thou shalt be destroyed, and perish in the day of vengeance. Because the thing is, we don't know when that day of vengeance is going to come upon us, if we're in our sins. So we have to make sure that we make good on the time that the Lord has given us. That's the mercy and the faith of Jesus Christ.
And Kazakia, for you also, your parting comments, please.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Okay. All right. Well, brothers, thank you so much for your participation on the panel. And I also want to say thank you to everyone who is listening in, whether it is live or whether you have to send it to record later on. But above all things, we want to glorify the Lord Christ. Until next time, shalom.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.